Nacholand Podcast with David Amoyal.
Benvenuti, as we would say in Italy. Welcome to all of you that don't speak Italian. Thank you so much for joining us for the Friday episode of the Nacholand Podcast. So originally, the plan was to use part of this awesome interview I did with Napoli Outsider on Tuesday night that we did for our patrons. But I have to be honest, so much has changed since we recorded, and that was true literally 24 hours after it, that it's pretty much obsolete. So because I was in New York, I couldn't shuffle and get another guest. But what we'll do at the end of the episode, there's so much going on. I'm going to go solo and give you a reflection on a few things. Paratici, Inzaghi, the rest of the coaching carousel. So we'll talk about that at the end. But Lord knows we have a ton of topics too, and I've been dying to get Alex's perspective on this. Alex, of course, is on pins and needles right now. We're recording this on Friday morning with what's coming with Chelsea. But I know there's so many topics that I think we can distract them a little bit here. So, Alex, we have to start with Conte, one of your former managers. So I have to ask you, how surprised were you that he leaves Inter after winning the Scudetto? Do you think people kind of look at him a little bit differently? I know you want to look at the Lukaku angle on this, and we'll get to that in a second. But I'm really curious more from your perspective. What was your reaction to Conte leaving after winning the title? And did that really surprise you?
Well, I have to be totally honest here. Nothing about Antonio Conte surprises me anymore. Well, actually, if he stayed at some place for 6-7 years and there was never any drama, that would surprise me. But other than that, no, it does not surprise me. Honestly, David, maybe some people listening don't believe me. It does not surprise me one bit that he has left Inter now after literally knocking off his old team from their Scudetto reign. It does not surprise me. I mean, I'm almost starting to view Conte, David, like the manager version of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, or just somebody who, of course, is really good if you just look at them isolated. Conte, Zlatan, obviously, really good isolated. And Conte, with what he's achieving now, I mean, his case to be one of the best club managers, one of the best football minds, it's rising and rising and rising. I mean, he's really building a legacy, a very unique one, but a very well-respected, I would hope, legacy in terms of just how he views the game, how he manages it and coaches it. But he does it totally to the beat of his own drum. And I think we all know it. It's not even like a secret. I don't even think it's something that he should even be sensitive over anymore. And I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but the fact that everybody knows he is hard to keep in step with the club he works for and vice versa. But like, I'm sure at least if you hooked him up to a polygraph, you would get the answer that he acknowledges he can be hard to deal with. So some of the greats are hard to deal with. That is just flat out true. So at this point, I just would not be surprised if you told me 15 years from now, Conte manages 2 to 3 more clubs and he wins maybe 2 more league titles, maybe with 2 different teams. I mean, at this point, I am starting to view Antonio Conte as a guy that will never really make a place his home. But we know there's a coaching carousel, and you, of course, will speak about that a lot more. And there's probably always going to be a coaching carousel. Maybe windows won't start off like they have this time around. It's ridiculous. I feel like Fabrizio Romano has just absolutely kicked the door down to start this summer with how many times he's tweeted big news. But coaching carousels these days, they're way more popular than having your Arsene Wenger or Sir Alex who stays at a club forever.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's always probably going to be an open spot for a mind like Antonio Conte. Now, David, I will say this might sound a little bit different from what I was saying like mid-season or beginning of the season or even last season about Conte when it seemed like he was literally going to explode at Inter and it was really going to hit the fan. And I did say, well, he's got to be careful. He's got to be careful because if he gets sacked from Inter, if this ends now, like in mid-season without accomplishing anything, he's got to be careful because then his reputation is too much. Then his reputation is, oh boy, He might be a great mind, but look, he couldn't even last so many terms with Inter. But he pushed through that, and he had a great campaign with Inter, a very authentic campaign with Inter. So I just feel like he's going to continue on this path. That is my opinion. So to answer your question, it really doesn't surprise me. Any manager walking away or just parting ways amicably, whatever, with their club after knocking off a Scudetto giant like Juventus, if it was just any manager, it would surprise me, but not Conte. So that's my answer, David. What about you?
I love the Zlatan comparison. I'm going to go another sport, and I'm going to say my reaction when I saw Conte leaving is that he's the Floyd Mayweather of football managers. And what I mean by that is Mayweather was fantastic at managing his career. He knew when to fight people. He waited for Pacquiao to kind of get a little bit older, lose a little bit of his step. He fought him. He won. Mayweather has an undefeated record. He fought Canelo, maybe Canelo before Canelo was what Canelo is today. So he's managed his career incredibly well, has a perfect record. I think Conte, in his mind, is like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to take this Inter any further. I'm going to use the financial thing. I'm not going to say it's an excuse because I mean, I do see that. But in my mind, he's like, you know what? The only way from here is down. And I'm not sure it's so much because he looks at Juve and he's like, oh, Pirlo might be gone. They're going to be tougher. I think he looks at Inter and is like, look, realistically, we have to sell at least one player. And we'll get to that in a second because I know we want to talk about Lukaku. And he's like, next season, I have to repeat the Scudetto at bare minimum and I have to do better in the Champions League. Like probably round of 16. Maybe that would be okay, but under no circumstances. He would have looked terrible. He already has a reputation for not being great in Europe. So this is what Conte does, I think, when he's like, okay, this is as far as I'm going to go. I'm going to leave. So to me, you can look at it both ways. On one hand, you could say, okay, you signed the contract. You said you were going to be here 3 years. You know, it's kind of like a marriage. It's not just about the good times. You tough it out. But, you know, it's also too about, in his mind, does he feel like he have the right motivations to do it? I was surprised that he left because I didn't think there was much of a market for someone to pay him the huge contract he has at Inter. But I guess I was wrong. I've been wrong on so many things this summer because it feels like logic this summer maybe doesn't apply or maybe I've lost my touch. I'm not a reporter, but, you know, I usually can kind of figure out what's going on by, you know, looking at the tea leaves. So it sounds like Conte is going to land on his feet. Real Madrid, PSG, if they move on from Pochettino, even Spurs might be an option. I know a lot of people, when they heard Spurs, were like, oh, there's no way he's going to go there. And I'd love to get your thoughts on that when we get to Lukaku too. But we know Conte wants to go back to the Premier League. He said that over and over again. I think at Spurs, he really wouldn't have much pressure. He would be like, yeah, okay, we need you to kind of be the guy, the knight in the shining armor that comes to save us. So I wouldn't exclude it. I think Real Madrid and PSG probably appeal more to him. But there, he has to do well in the CL. Like, there's just no way around that. So I'm very curious. I'm also very curious to see what his legacy at Inter will look like. And I don't think we can say that today. The reason I say that is, you know, Conte's legacy on the day he left at Juve, when he abruptly resigned, looks very different. And the reason I say that is because Allegri, as I've said a million times, Conte takes you from A to B, Allegri from B to C. And I think because of the fact Allegri did so well at Juve after, I think we look at Conte a little bit differently there. I think that's a little bit unfair because I know a lot of Juve fans, that, and maybe it's because he was at Inter, maybe don't give Conte as much credit as he deserves for the turnaround. So I'm very curious on what his legacy will look like. But I really do think he is the Floyd Mayweather of football when it comes to managing his career.
That's an interesting one for sure. Absolutely. It's always nice to go outside the sport for a comparison. Well done. All right. So now the inevitable for Alex Goldberg is upon us. I can't lie, as you kind of alluded to when we started off this segment, Conte leaving Inter is always just fun for me to follow anyway, because I think anything with Conte is kind of fun to follow. But yep, added incentive for myself and for any Chelsea fan. We are really wanting Lukaku back at Chelsea. So, David, how likely, not necessarily Chelsea specific, but how likely do you think Lukaku is to leave now that Conte's gone?
So, I have a lot of thoughts. So, let's start here. Let's go back to when Conte abruptly left Juve. Pretty similar. Conte abruptly leaves Inter. I remember the first reports were, oh my God, Pirlo, Tevez, players like that are going to leave too. There were reports on that meeting with Agnelli on the news on Conte. And then guess what? Nobody left. Now, Inter's financial situation is very different than Juve's back then. We know for sure, and all the reports say that they have to make 80 million. And there's been a lot of debate. Is it plus Valencia, just cash? And we'll get into that more on the patron side. And look, you know, I don't claim to know everything. I will just say this on that topic, plusvalenza versus just straight cash. I've always seen clubs try to make up for the situation that Inter is in, even lack of liquidity, mainly through plusvalenza. And in my mind, if you're going to make a big sale, then why not make also a big plusvalenza? So in my mind, when I look at it that way, it makes a lot more sense that Lautaro be the one to go over Lukaku because of the amortized value. At the same time, Lautaro was already at Inter before Conte. Lukaku does not go to Inter without Conte, but he also really loves Italy. He's felt really, really at home at Inter, especially if he stays after Conte leaves. I think he becomes even more of a hero. At Chelsea, you know, as great as your team is, or really almost any team, I feel like he's just one of many. And look, I think Inter can do very well on Lukaku, of course, but he is 5 years older than Lautaro too. So I think people underestimate how much Lautaro's worth on the market. But here's the kicker. Inter can say all they want that, oh, we're going to try to just sell one player, but get who's in charge at Inter. And I say this as a positive because Marotta is the perfect guy for this moment at Inter. With Marotta, it's all about the player's will. So say they make a big sale to kind of make up the cash, and it has to be plusvalenza or just cash. That's not as important with this thought. If someone else wants to leave, they're probably not going to get in the way. So in my mind, if Lukaku wanted to go, he can make it happen. Now, what's interesting is a lot was made on why Inter would even give a golden parachute to Conte. He got 7 million to go out the door. Guess who is Conte's agent? Pastorello, who is also Lukaku's agent. You could look at it as Inter was like, oh, we're going to make Pastorello look really good here with this golden parachute. Pastorello is awesome, by the way, superb agent. So I'm not sure if this is the case or not. And, you know, we're going to keep him happy and maybe Lukaku's going to stay. And there's also other players at Inter. This is just kind of a thought. I'm not sure if there's really anything there. But I think ultimately what really matters is with Marotta in charge, if a player wants to leave, he will go. And to be honest, I think that is the best policy. So we'll get into more of my thoughts on Inter when I do my final thoughts at the end of the pod. But certainly interesting there. Now, the other thing that we need to talk about, and this feels like ancient news because so much has happened this week, is Donnarumma leaving Milan. So a lot to chew on there. So I want to ask you, Alex, and look, I've defended Ayala on this podcast a lot because, you know, at the end of the day, he's an agent. And I feel like many times he's doing what his clients want. And look, he does it in a very forceful way and he gets them what they want here. I'm not so sure. There's been a lot of reports on, and I've saw some reports on Maldini literally asking Donnarumma after the match at Atalanta, so are you going to stay? Now we're in the Champions League, and there's been reports that the answer was like, well, I basically do what Ayala tells me to do. I personally think that right now, in this financial market, Ayala's demands for Donnarumma were really outrageous. I don't blame anyone for asking, but I thought this was really a step too far. And I have to wonder if fans are also like, you know what? And I know Milan fans, I totally get their attitude on, yeah, well,
we'll only go so far. Kudos to our club for drawing a line in the sand, and we're done. We're not going to put up with this. And they did very well on the deal for the keeper from Lille. So I want to ask you this. Do you think the perception is that some fans are like, saw what happened here and are like, every 2-3 years, we're going to have to deal with this with Rayola, with an extension and deal with it? Or do you think the perception is more, oh, we can get him on a Bosman? And I'm going to say fans are going to say we can get him on a free transfer. Although when you look at the figures, there's nothing free about it. So do you think people are like, hey, you know, we can get this great young keeper. We don't have to pay a transfer fee. We'll deal with Rayola 2-3 years from now and so be it.
You know, I really think it's a good question because obviously you can look at the pros and cons of the situation, and Raiola, no offense to him, is going to be a con in this situation. But I really think it needs to come down to who your club already has a goalkeeper. And I think most fans would feel that way as well. So like, I'm not going to pretend to be a Barca fan because I'm certainly not, but when I hear about Donnarumma maybe going to Barca, but then we hear Fabrizio say at the same time that Ter Stegen's not going anywhere and that he's the number one goalkeeper, I ask myself, then why deal with Raiola? Like, ideally, you have two amazing keepers, right? But is that, first of all, even the best way to build your squad? And also, talk about wage structure. Having all of that in one position? So if you just kind of say it so simply, like, hey, you can get Donnarumma on a free, I think everybody's like interested, right? Because they're just like, what? Donnarumma on a free? But then when you dive into the details just a little bit more, you're like, wait a minute. He's going to be one of our highest paid players, maybe the highest. He's immediately going to come in, whatever team it is, and he's going to earn more than probably guys who are significantly older than him and guys that have been at that club longer than him. Not to mention, Raiola is going to be with him. So he could just be annoying to deal with in general. I mean, we're going to have to pay him more than other agents. But also, we know that if one moment Gigi is not happy, Raiola might start looking for the next club for him. So, yeah, I think once you look at the context, it gets so much messier. So if you don't really have a goalkeeper that kind of fits the standard of your club, then I think you should be interested. And I think having him be the agent, Raiola be Donnarumma's agent, is absolutely a pill you should swallow. But I actually think, I hate to make it about my club all the time, but I actually think Chelsea's like a perfect example where Mendy doesn't have this long-term pedigree of being a top goalkeeper. So you could also say like, well, hey, you got Mendy for not that much money. Yeah, you paid a transfer fee, but now you could get Donnarumma also on a quote-unquote free, and you're still paying him less annually than what you are for Kepa. So, hey, maybe you do it. And then all of a sudden you go from really having a problem at goalkeeper with Kepa to being stacked at goalkeeper with Mendy and Donnarumma. But once again, because Raiola is Donnarumma's agent, Mendy's too good to then take on a Raiola. So I wouldn't understand why a Barca fan would honestly want Donnarumma to come just with that context. So yeah, I think it really should depend on who you have in net. Like, I will just lastly say, David, if you say had like a 35-year-old goalkeeper who's still really good, but you can kind of see the end in sight, that's when I sniff around for sure getting Donnarumma. If you just know.
So are you saying PSG?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. And then, like, I don't know who Bayern have lined up after Manuel Neuer. Yeah. But at the same time, I would think, wow, wouldn't that be a great way for Bayern to just never drop a level? But with Barca, I don't get it. So yeah, that's my take. I just don't think it would make a heck of a lot of sense if you're already set at that position. There's too much baggage. There's too much baggage. So yeah, I mean, what do you, just to add on top of it, make of just the idea of Donnarumma leaving?
Yeah, a lot to chew on there. And I think you made a lot of great points there. So I'm going to look at it more from the Milan perspective. I think Milan deserves a lot of credit for drawing a line in the sand. But at the same time, we can't overlook the fact that they lost a very valuable asset for nothing. I think in an ideal world, had Milan done exactly this time last year, telling Donnarumma, okay, time's now. There's 1 year left on your deal. Time to crap or get off the potty. You have to give us an answer now. That would have been, the way to go about it. So I get absolutely praising them for drawing a line in the sand. I think those demands were too high. They get a keeper who's going to cost them the annual costs a third, probably even a quarter of what Donnarumma would have cost if you tack on the agent fees. Probably not a huge drop off. Let's say the drop off costs you 3-4 points, you can make those up in other ways because you're saving that money. And if you reinforce the squad, so that makes perfect sense. I think they landed on their feet. I think the pill of losing Donnarumma for nothing is smaller because you are in the Champions League. But I still think you have to be also objective and say, you know what, they had to do this last year and they would have ended up in a better place. The other thing, though, that I will say more from the personal aspect of this, I think it's very significant that you had a Milan legend like Maldini negotiating with Raiola, and he's kind of the figure on the other side. It's not just like, you know, some figure like Marotta. Like, it's a guy who played at Milan, is like one of the most legendary Milan players, never earned anywhere close to what Donnarumma was asking for. And granted, those were different times, but I think it's really important to note that. I saw some other former Milan players, Nesta, Ambrosini, came out very strongly saying, you know, this is really disrespectful. Milan offered you a ton of money. To leave for nothing is just inexcusable. And look, I've said it. I've been wrong a ton this summer because I was like, there's just no way Donnarumma is going to leave for nothing. And I was like, Milan just gave all this money to Ibrahimovic. Raiola won that one, and now he's taking this guy away for nothing. It's like a debacle. But, you know, they did draw a line in the sand. And to me, at the end of the day, what matters about Donnarumma, we can argue who won the battle, lost them for free and whatnot. At the end of the day, it's a result-based business. If Milan next season does fine without Donnarumma, so be it. It almost doesn't matter that they lost them for free. Donnarumma goes on to have a great career, lands in the right place, does really well, wins a bunch of things. Maybe it was the right thing. So right now we can all be emotional. And I really think people at the end of the day, if you're a Milan fan, you're going to look at it. Look, we drew a line in the sand. We lost them for free. If you're an Inter fan or someone who doesn't like Milan, you can say, well, you did lose them for free. You had this great asset that you lost for nothing. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the pitch that decides how this goes. So, man, there was a ton to get to. We haven't even talked about Inzaghi and Allegri. But so we'll do that at the end. Instead of the interview with Napoli Outsider, I'll just comment on that. So before we get to that, which will be available to all, we're going to get to our patrons. You know, I really think if you enjoy coverage of transfers, having your answers, having questions answered, reading articles, I think you'll really enjoy being a patron this summer. It's also a great community. We'll also have some very cool articles, including my transfer rumor raider there. And all the money that we make there covers production costs and the rest goes to charity. So you'll be doing a great thing. Okay, guys, so I'm going to pinch hit because the plan was, especially since I was in New York, I've done this long interview with Napoli Outsider, and I was like, hey, I'm going to use a half hour on the Friday pod available to all. But again, because so much changed this week, we're going to have to kind of pivot. So on the final segment, we're going to talk about Juve, talk about Paratici leaving, Allegri coming back in. We'll talk about Inzaghi to Inter, look at the rest of the coaching carousel. And I want to tell you a little bit about this awesome event I went to in New York with my friends at Italian Football TV. So let's start with Paratici. On a Wednesday morning, the news was that Paratici was leaving Juve. So what do we make of his legacy? Most important thing, I judge an executive like Paratici. I think the best and fairest way to judge an executive like him is he leaving his organization in better shape than he found it? Paratici arrived with Marotta from Sampdoria. They hired Del Neri. The first year was a disaster. Then Conte comes on board. That was more of an Andrea Agnelli call, and I think Andrea Agnelli deserves a lot of credit for that. And then Paratici did a great job for a long time. At one point was considered probably as good a sporting director in all of Europe. Great talent scout. People gave him a ton of credit for the Bosman deals, although I think that's changed a little bit. I would say up until the Ronaldo signing, Paratici was doing incredibly well. I think him and Marotta together as a team were superb. Then Paratici is really the one that pushed hard for Ronaldo. He had this plan that he outlined to Andrea Agnelli. And if you remember, if you've been listening to a podcast for a long time, I was always very skeptical that Juve could afford Ronaldo. And I think I was right still today, to be honest. But Paratici had this plan. Oh, I'm going to make all these plusvalenza. I'm going to sign guys on Bosman. We'll find a way to make it happen. In his defense, the pandemic happened. So a lot of the revenues that you would have thought would have come from Ronaldo didn't come in. So I think that's important to say. But, and there's a very huge but here. This season that just ended, Juve had a payroll of 80 million before taxes above Inter. Think about that. That's more than almost all, but I think six or seven teams in Serie A don't have a payroll as big as the gap between Juve and Inter. And again, ask yourself, how many players at Juve could start at Inter? I think that number is smaller than people think. So to me, recently, it was absolutely catastrophic. And yeah, you can say the revenues from the from Ronaldo because of the pandemic, but that payroll is just completely inexcusable. So I will say, you know, timing in life is everything. Had Paratici left Juve right before the Ronaldo signing, we'd be talking about him as one of the greatest executives that we've had in Italian football. But look, I still think if, especially if you're a Juve fan overall, you should have a lot of gratitude towards him. Allegri comes back. Very interesting. This is not that uncommon at Juve. We've seen both Trapattoni and Lippi come back. Now, I saw a lot of Juve fans when I tweeted that say, oh, great, that means we're going to win the Champions League. To be fair, Trapattoni and Lippi did win it before they left Juve for the first time. Lippi wasn't great when he came back. Trapattoni did pretty well. But look, considering Juve's situations, Juve's options, I think they did fine here. I think Juve fans now are less interested in the beautiful football. I think now they just want to win again. I think they want to see that grinta was maybe lacking this season that we did see more with Allegri coming at a huge salary, has more say on the transfer market. Yeah, I'm fascinated by this. Look, I think Allegri at a club like Juve is completely at home, great at managing the media. I think this was a really good hire, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Paratici had to leave for this to happen because it sounds like him and Allegri really didn't see things eye to eye. And I know a lot of people were also asking, well, what does that say about Ronaldo with Allegri there? I'm going to say it's the same on Juve qualifying for the Champions League or not, how you interpret Ronaldo's Instagram post at the end of the season. To me, at the end of the day, none of that matters. What matters is there another club willing to take Ronaldo off Juve's hands, cover their last, you know, Juve's not going to want to take a loss on what's left of his amortized value, and Ronaldo's probably not going to want to take a pay cut. So, you know, is there a club willing to do that? I don't think Allegri coming back or not ultimately changes that at all. So I think overall, you know, look, we can focus on the last few years of Paratici, but overall, I think he did a great job at Juve and left them in much better shape than he found them. But I do think since the divorce, Marotta has done a lot better. It's kind of like in the stretch of The Sopranos when Tony Soprano went in a coma and Silvio Dante was the acting boss. A great number two isn't necessarily a great number one. Paratici was really more the scout. Marotta more the finance guy. Marotta more the relationship guy with the other sporting directors and agents, although Paratici eventually got there too. So I thought they were a great team. But I do think since the divorce, Marotta has absolutely won that. And I think, you know, if you're objective, I think it's very hard not to come to that conclusion. Now let's talk about Inzaghi to Inter. It's interesting because for a while I thought Inzaghi was going to end up at either Juve or Napoli, and then he ends up at Inter. Goes to show how much I know. It feels like this year I really know nothing. But in any event, I do know that I think this is a good hire because it's an eerily similar system to Conte. I think you can make a great case that for the most part, Inzaghi has overachieved at Lazio. They've done better than their payroll almost every single year. The style is going to be the same. It's going to be an easy transition. I kind of really like this hire. If you told me that nobody leaves at all, I would say Inter is still maybe not clear favorites for the Scudetto, but definitely the favorites. So that tells me that the drop-off really isn't that significant. And again, I think Conte is a, if I was running another club and you're like, I can hire Conte or Inzaghi, and I'm looking, I've kind of had a rough spell, I'm looking to get back on the map, obviously Conte is the one I go to. But seeing Inter's situation, I think this is a good hire. And I think if you're an Inter fan, you really should be pretty optimistic, everything considered there. Does this mean Milinkovic-Savic is coming in? Or no, at least not this year. They certainly don't have the money to make that happen. But again, I think overall, really good move. Let's talk about the rest of the coaching carousel. Let's start with Spalletti at Napoli, which normally would have been a huge story, but this week it feels like it really, really got buried. I think this says a ton. This is a statement of intent from Napoli. If they went with Italiano or Juric, that was a rebuild coming. We got to cut a ton of costs. But I think with Spalletti, you're really not doing that. As a highly paid coach, competitive. Very curious to see what happens with Napoli. But I think they sent a clear message here. I think Lazio are in big trouble. Because I think had they landed Gattuso to replace Inzaghi, although Gattuso does have a little bit of limitations, I think they would have been really quite happy with that one. As we're recording, and this probably will change a ton, it sounds like Mihailovic, I'm not a fan as a coach. I think had Inter signed Mihailovic, I'd have been like, they're dropping out of the top four. Pretty much a lock. So look, Mihailovic was at Lazio as a player, loves it there. I think he'll be very well received from the fans. He'll be great at the press conferences. Mihailovic and Mourinho, both in the capital, great press conferences, but I don't really like this. I think Lazio are in trouble. Interestingly, you think of all the teams that change coaches, pretty much all the teams at the top of the standings, except for Milan and Atalanta, and maybe that continuity helped them. And interestingly, Milan and Inter are managed now from the last two managers from Lazio, Pioli and Inzaghi. So very interesting. A coaching carousel was as crazy as it's been in Serie A in ages. Lastly, I want to close. I was in New York for the Italian Football TV event. It was a great time. I really enjoyed it. It was wonderful to see so many friends. Their project on Campobasso, very, very intriguing. We're probably going to have someone from Campobasso on the podcast in the next few weeks because I want to tell you guys a little bit about it. So it was really good, I have to say, after a year and a half of quarantine and whatnot, being back in New York was really awesome. I think if you can do it safely, traveling is really, really great. It re-energized me. So I look forward to a crazy summer. Hopefully I'll get my prediction touch back. I've been also wrong on so many things, but it's certainly been very entertaining. So I look forward to covering this with you guys. So I want to take this opportunity also to thank the many that continue to listen to us. Certainly the landscape with podcasts has really changed a ton, and I really appreciate you guys sticking with us. So thanks, and we'll talk to you next week.